What's your opinion? This is It's Debatable.
Welcome to the episode of It's Debatable, where every week students from the Department of International Relations at the University of Malta discuss a hot topic from current affairs. I am Mays Tayem, and I will be your host for the next half an hour. Today, our topic for debate deals with the role of Germany in the current economic crisis, which is engulfing the entire Eurozone. With me are international relations students Mark Abdullah and Maria Carmen Farrugia, who will present different arguments pertaining to Germany's role. We will also be joined by Dr. Isabel Calleja, the head of the International Relations Department, who will present a brief overview of the topic. Germany is currently the most powerful economy in Europe. And after the latest economic rating reshuffle by Standards and Poor's, Germany is the only state which has not registered a decreased rating. Now, to start off our debate, Maria, what role is Germany playing in maintaining the euro?
First of all, Germany is trying to keep Europe together economically, especially through the Euro Plus Pact. This is a Franco-German proposal which establishes stronger economic policy coordination acting along the German lines, with the aim to establish increase competitiveness. Amongst other objectives, the Euro Plus Pact includes raising pension wages, abolishing wage indexation. In this way, the sustainability of public finances will be enhanced. Apart from that, the Euro Plus Pact has the objective to increase the access of lifelong learning to European citizens. Indeed, European governments are concerned about 80 million people in the EU having lower basic skills, and they are also worried about the actual lack of participation. However, not all the European member states, such as Hungary and the United Kingdom, have not agreed to put into action the Euro Plus Pact. Hungary refused to join in order to protect its taxation policy, whilst Britain has not agreed to put into action the Euro Plus Pact due to its hostility towards the EU, as it gives high priority to its sovereignty. Furthermore, Germany is currently the biggest creditor country, which has the potential to resolve the Eurozone debt crisis. Nowadays, Germany has proved that it has managed to improve its competitiveness during the present economic crisis. Germany has been enjoying a more rapid growth in its GDP, and it does not feel the need to increase taxes. Apart from that, Germany has a small budget deficit when compared to the other European countries, and the large majority of its citizens do not have debt.
Well, you have mentioned that Germany has increased its GDP during the present economic crisis. How has Germany succeeded in doing so? And why does Germany seem the only country which has the potential to fix the euro crisis?
After all the hard work done to reintegrate East Germany, Germany succeeded to establish itself as a European economic power. Germany has increased its manufacturing sector, and as a result, this initiative has decreased unemployment from 8.5% in 2007 to 7.1% in 2011. Apart from increasing jobs in the manufacturing sector, this initiative has helped Germany to rank second as the world's largest exporter after China. Therefore, this initiative has helped Germany to develop its potential and to be able to cope with the Eurozone crisis.
Well, that was very interesting. Mark, how long do you think that Germany's initiative role during the present economic crisis has been beneficial to the EU as a whole?
I believe the best way to assess Germany's influence during the entire crisis is to look at Europe's present state, as well as the effects France and the other Euro states have had on the crisis. Germany has often been called Europe's core. However, it has found itself being challenged by the failures in Greece and Italy. Furthermore, France continues to show itself as a major power in European affairs, and certainly Germany cannot move forward without France being directly behind it. Italy's crisis was worsened with the rivalry between Berlusconi and Merkel, as well as the fact that Berlusconi did not resign immediately, as the Greek Prime Minister had done, and had let Italy's economy continue to spiral downwards. Lastly, it is important to note that Germany, despite boasting the most powerful economy in Europe, cannot act alone in this crisis. France has a huge role to play in the EU, and whenever a decision is made, Merkel is always seen alongside Sarkozy.
Well, Germany seems to do its best to keep Europe together during the present euro crisis. However, its proposals and initiatives have been creating divisions among EU member states. Maria, what do you think about this?
The Minister of Finance, Wolfgang Schäuble, encouraged last July huge restructuring in the Greek bailout. Schäuble played a crucial role in holding the conservative bloc together in the vote regarding the expansion of the European Rescue Fund, which is a bailout fund intended to offer financial help to the heavily indebted Eurozone countries like Greece. This furthered the idea of expanding the powers of the EFSF, which created a big controversy in the EU. Though Slovakia used to be against this reform, Slovakia has recently approved the reform of this Eurozone's bailout fund, which includes the financial recapitalism of financial institutions by giving loans to governments, including in non-program countries. Therefore, this furthers the idea that the history of European integration is full of examples of policies set by smaller groups and later adopted by larger groups. For instance, the controversy created by the Common Agricultural Policy. Nevertheless, one must also comment about the fact that Germany has been yet experiencing domestic political crisis when Christian Lindner, the General Secretary of Germany's Free Democratic Party, resigned from his party and encouraged non-participation in the referendum regarding the endorsement of the European Stability Mechanism.
Okay, Mark, now before we stop for a short break, do you have any additional comments regarding Germany's potential in holding Europe together and therefore maintaining the euro?
Well, although Angela Merkel is focused on attempts at safeguarding the euro, 75% of Germany's population are currently against Germany providing weaker eurozone countries with more bailouts. A member of Merkel's political party, Vosba, stated that the latest bailout provided by Germany was like a reissuing of medicine, which didn't work the first time around. He also said that, "But what we promised the people was a union of stability, not a union of debt." For Germans, providing bailouts has become a way for them to end up increasing their low borrowing rates. The type of internal instability this bailout issue is causing in the coalition governing Germany is obviously bad news for the Eurozone. It forces one to ask, how ready is Germany to continue forking out millions to save failing states like Greece? In fact, the Washington Post reports that more than half the money lent to Greece so far by the International Monetary Fund and European nations has gone to repay bondholders. Currently, Greece is facing loans amounting to $300 billion. Although Greece has paid off its bondholders before, this has only made the economic situation worse than before. And many question whether it is wise for Greece to continue following the same strategy. This has also brought huge problems to both Spain and Italy. The European Commission published a report stating this: Greece's debts are simply unsustainable. Greece continues to fall into controversy. Its plans to hold a referendum on accepting the bailout was in the works. This huge mistake on the part of the Greek Prime Minister eventually led to his resignation and the imposition of a technocracy. Moreover, Pat Harrington of the British National Party made some important points regarding bailouts in general, after Portugal was itself given a bailout. He points out that bailouts always come with strings attached, that is, including the imposition of austerity measures, cuts in benefits, as well as the privatization of various public services. He claims that bailouts only bail out banks, and the general population will suffer because of them.
Well, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Maria Carmen. You both raised some very interesting points. We'll have to stop here for a short break, but we'll continue shortly after.
Viola, let me see you dance, Viola. Yeah. Let me see you dance, Viola.
Welcome to this episode of It's Debatable, a platform for discussion for the students of the University of Malta. Today we're discussing the role of Germany in the current economic crisis, which is engulfing the entire Eurozone.
With us on the phone is Dr. Armin Eckermann, a member of the German-Maltese Business Council of the Malta Chamber of Commerce, Enterprise and Industry, and an expert in finance. Hello, Dr. Armin. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
First question is, what is the role of Germany in saving the euro?
Well, let me start a little bit on a broader level, if you don't mind. As you're probably aware, there are about 17 European member states that have adopted the euro, and they are all part of the Economic and Monetary Union called the EMU. There are another 10 countries, these are EU members, but they have not adopted the euro as currency. So what is the role of Germany in saving the euro? If you put all those 17 countries or states which have adapted to the euro on an equal footing, you might ask yourself, what is Germany's role, special role into this? And I believe you will have to construct an argument why Germany's role should be different here.
Mm-hmm.
If you allow me, for me, the euro has something to do with the German history. And if I venture into history, I have to say that Germany, together with France and Italy, created the Europe as we know it today for one particular reason, for historical reasons. Europe has been a war-torn continent for many centuries. The lessons learned by my father's generation, basically, and they created the policy in Europe as we know it today, was to avoid going to war over any issues in Europe ever again. Hence, I believe that history and the political will have been the driver of this union. And as a German, I must say that we have been living the peace dividend, as some politicians in Germany called it, for quite some time. So the fathers of Europe have created something very useful, something I personally cannot overemphasize, overstress enough. It's a political will. An idea today's German political mainstream classes and educated constituency of people surely subscribe to, I believe. Please bear in mind, before I turn to the more economic or financial issues involved, that our debate about the current Eurozone comes out of this historical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go to the more economic side of it, we all know that Germany must be viewed in front of its economic success over the last couple of years, I would actually say almost 50 years. That was post-war Germany. Germany was allowed to rebuild the war-torn country under the oversight of the Allied countries. There was also debt forgiveness, if I remember correctly, in the 50s.
That's correct.
The Eurozone was established roughly 10 years ago, and one can clearly state that the German economy or Germany has benefited through the introduction of the euro. All economic indicators show today how Germany has prospered. Other countries prosper too, but it seems today that the long-term effects are currently with Germany, while other countries like Spain, Portugal, Ireland, to name a few, prospered only temporarily. Why did this actually happen? With the euro as currency, all 17 states gave up their former right to drive their own national monetary policies, which is a right to manipulate money supply, changing interest rate regimes, setting exchange rates vis-a-vis other countries. However, the right to set national fiscal targets, to define your fiscal policy on your own, basically tax collection and how the government spends the money within a nation, remained untouched. They remained under sovereign control, national control, so to speak. The founding fathers of the Eurozone already pointed out in 1992 that a monetary union cannot last if the monetary union is not going to move towards a fiscal union. The monetary target of the newly created European Central Bank was very easy defined: stability of prices only. In other terms, they set inflationary targets. That was in the past and is still today the case, and that is the only objective the European Central Bank had to follow. So the problem now occurs from that particular setting, I believe.
there had been an economic debate, without going into great detail, that both of those policies, the monetary policy, which is an economic tool to manipulate your well-being in an economic system, as well as a fiscal policy tool, which you can use in order to force an economic development, are interdependent. This means once you define a particular policy, let's say the monetary policy, as it has been done by the EZB 10 years ago, the fiscal policy has to adjust. If the two policies, monetary and fiscal, aren't aligned, you will have an economic credibility problem, which leads to an economically unstable development. That is exactly what we are experiencing today in the Eurozone. Some sovereign states spend more than they take in revenues. They are indebted, and some of them are really overly indebted. This scenario cannot last forever unless monetary policy will accommodate it. But we are having agreed in the Eurozone that monetary policy should be independent and not really adjust to this fiscal demand.
What do you believe is the role of the other Eurozone states in regard to the euro crisis and what the role should be?
Well, actually, you asked me the role of Germany. I was about to come to the point that Germany prospered very much under the euro currency regime. And because of this, I think that Germany definitely needs to understand how it has prospered, and the other countries actually also have to see how they have not prospered under that regime and how they have to change.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at this, I mean, what has really happened to Germany is that the exchange rate regime was fixed. You know, there was no adjustment. Germany became more competitive. They were still frugal, became more competitive, but they had one advantage. The euro did not change. A euro was not exchanged against the Italian lira, against the escudo in Portugal, etc. anymore. It was all the euro. Germany became more productive, had inflation rates which were lower than 2%. Therefore, they really took the benefit of introducing the euro. And the other countries which had higher inflation rates, they were actually not taking advantage of this development. So what I believe, what Germany's role is basically, is Germany has to understand that given the exchange rate regime and the benefits they had, that to a certain extent they are actually a part of the euro crisis, and they need to discuss internally how to change the situation within Germany, and also need to discuss on Brussels level how to help other countries to adjust to their debt problems and to come back to economic growth.
Okay, and last question, Dr. Eckermann. How can the new Eurozone treaties affect the euro nowadays?
Well, the new Eurozone treaties, whatever we see at the moment, it is, in my way, I think we have to start, every nation has to start to discuss in greater detail what it actually means to be within Europe, and that it means they have to think about giving up fiscal authority. They have to go into a fiscal union settings. It's exactly what we see at the moment in countries like Greece, what has been said. I mean, Greece, you know, there are 130 billion that will be made available over the next 2 years. This amount, you know, is not being given freely to the Greek government at the moment. You mean the other European countries said, you know, we need to be sure that you use this money into the right channels. So they are starting to monitoring it. They are starting to controlling how this money is being spent. That actually means for a proud Greek person, which I understand, that somebody is actually determining how they structure their lives. It's a hard thing to accept, but I think within the European setting, if we have to go to the fiscal unit, and I'm a strong believer of it, maybe it happens not necessarily today or tomorrow, but over time we have to go there. So other European countries have to give up certain sovereign rights, and I think that is actually an issue of national pride, that the Germans have to learn as much as the Greek or the Italians or the Portuguese, just to name a few.
I see. Thank you so much, Dr. Eckermann. Thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Now let us return to our debate. During the present euro crisis, there is a rise in the rate of unemployment. So Mark, do you have any additional comments regarding the fact that, as was stated by Maria, one of the objections of the creation of a common currency was to create stability and to reduce subsequently the rate of unemployment? Do you have any additional comments regarding the objective crucial in regards to the euro as the source of bringing the member states together in cope with the global competition?
Well, Eurostat estimates that within the EU27, there has been a rise of 440,000 unemployed persons in October 2011, when compared to the October of the previous year. Estonia has registered the highest decrease in unemployment, with a rate of 11.3%. Yet while Greece currently has the highest increase in rates of unemployment at 18.3%, Spain is holding it at 22.6%. Finally, one has to look at the United Kingdom in this regard. It is not within the Eurozone, as it has retained its sterling currency. The Treaty of Maastricht established the European Union in 1991. Yet during this treaty, the UK ultimately decided to opt out in order to avoid adopting a common currency with Europe. This has obviously meant that the UK does not have the power on par with other member states, who ultimately signed the treaty. As we have seen during the debate over the changing of the EU treaty itself, there were great tensions between David Cameron on the one hand and Nicolas Sarkozy and Angela Merkel on the other, who decided to move forward without the UK. If the European Union does wish to survive, there must be cohesion and combined effort at preserving it. Certainly, ignoring the statements of a permanent Security Council member will certainly bring about concerns.
Okay, Maria, do you have any additional comments regarding the present situation of the euro?
When the world economic crisis reached its peak, President Obama stated, "A crisis is a terrible thing to waste." This means that during a crisis, states become more aware about how they can better their administrative system. Indeed, lawyers in the Eurozone are drafting a European fiscal compact to restore discipline in the Eurozone's economies, because if the euro comes to an end, the EU will not exist at all. The problem is not whether the EU member states are capable to save the currency, but whether they are ready to pay for the challenges imposed by the euro. To make matters worse, the present economic crisis has brought out the weak points of the Maastricht Treaty. Apart from that, British Eurosceptics and European Federalists are predicting that monetary union would not work without an economic and political union. All in all, the issue of the euro is such an important issue that France and Germany have developed a different vision of the Eurozone, which differs from one another. On the one hand, France is keen in creating a Eurozone, where the concentration of power is in the hands of leaders and where the Mercosur duo dominates. On the other, Germany is keen in creating powerful independent institutions based on strong rules in order to constrain politicians. And indeed, Merkel is pushing the idea to revise the treaty to toughen fiscal discipline.
Okay, Mark, now that we're nearing our debate to an end, do you have any concluding remarks?
Well, despite the movement to integrate Europe under a single currency, Jacques Delors claims that the Eurozone has been flawed from the very beginning, because there is a lack of central authority over economic policies. The problem does not lie in the single currency system, but in the way it was executed and implemented. He believes the Eurozone leaders should have reacted much earlier to the crisis, since now it is too late. Germany has ultimately shown that it can no longer act alone. Germany was ultimately forced to accept France's proposals to work directly with banks to solve Greece's debt problems. And this is despite Angela Merkel's previous statements that she would not agree to such measures. One cannot really answer whether the European Union will survive, but unless Germany allows other member states to have a larger voice in the whole debacle, its survival is definitely threatened.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, and thank you, Maria Carmen. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. On behalf of the team behind this debatable, I would like to thank our academic advisor, Dr. Isabel Kaleya, and I would also like to thank our radio technician, Carmen Nogrek. I am Mace Tayem, and on behalf of the Department of International Relations and the Malta International Relations Students Association, thank you for tuning in and hope you will join us next week. Until then, keep updated.
You have just had the pleasure of listening to another student-run episode of It's Debatable, produced by the Department of International Relations within the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta. For more information, kindly visit mrsa.org.mt. Tune in next week, same time, same frequency.